Scotty J. This is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
I think he might be buckling.
Yeah, look at him sweat.
Beady-eyed little bastard.
All right.
You are so mean. If people would know what you have been doing before Scotty J.
Don't worry, Scotty. It's with me and Sarah and many, many thousands of hypercritical listeners.
Yeah, we wish.
many dozens. Scotty, EJ, you're about to be heard by tens of people throughout the Portland area. All right. It's 1 minute and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of September in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, my friends, this is the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy. Thank you for coming by. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. It is 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. If you want to engage with us electronically today, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. With your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your two cents, your what have you. And here's the ultimate irony of today, by the way. Before we just get weighed neck and shoulders deep into this sort of a thing. The irony today, of course, and I didn't even really think about this until Susan Reynolds, who is the marketing guru for CBS Radio Portland, before she pointed this out, that today... we have the guy who normally screens the phones is actually in to anchor the news. And then a guy who used to anchor the news is in screening phones. I don't know why it occurred to us that we should have put things together that way. That does seem a little backward now that I think. No offense. That does seem... No offense, Scotty. That does seem a little backward now that I ponder it. But as my grandmother used to say, what can you do? It is what it is. I've got this pain all up and down my left side. It is 503-733-2970. You can also email it as Rick at RickEmerson.com, friends. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Hold on, let me take one more swig, as they used to say, of my will-flavored viso here, and then we'll begin. Ah, all right, there you go. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, before we go any further, let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show to keep track of the tally, as he always does, our good friend.
Thank you. Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
All right, let's welcome now to the show Mailman Chris. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am good on this day. And yourself?
I am fantastic. We'll see how that goes, though. I'm fantastic as of now. It could all change. It could all change in the blink of an eye. Or in the turning on of a microphone. We'll see how it goes. And so forth. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading a little note. Is that really? Is it too
yeah,
low?
Yeah, it's really quiet.
You're too low. Pull up. All right. All right, Chris, how are you delivering today, or are you off today?
No, I'm delivering again today.
All right.
Oh. All right. You delivering tomorrow, Chris?
I haven't had a day off in 4 weeks. I've been volunteering to come in on my day off for overtime.
I see.
Oh,
so,
well, that means you can't go to the soapbox derby.
It also means you can't bitch about it, by the way, because you can one cannot volunteer for it to work repeated. Really? So you haven't had a day off in a month?
Well, Sunday. Sunday off, that's it.
All right, okay. And so, by the way, and not that you would do this, but there was somebody very similar to you. Mailman, this. Was it a Fredericks of Hollywood catalog? Not that you'd know anything about that.
I remember delivering some Fredericks of Hollywood catalog.
I'm just saying that there was someone very similar to, yet legally distinct from, yourself, who showed me... I mean, here's the reason I cannot be a postal carrier. And I believe that is the correct term, right?
Yes.
Here's the reason I cannot deliver the post in this fine country of ours. Because the flat-out porn that you deliver, that's actually sort of covered up sufficiently that you can't really be distracted by it. Like, your Playboy... Like, I get Playboy, and Playboy comes in this thick black plastic, so you can't really tell what it is. But I got to tell you, there's any number of items, and I've seen this now, I've seen the evidence of this. There's any number of items that you're called upon to deliver that I would just be, I would see, be so unbelievable, my attention would just be diverted to such an extent that I don't think I'd really ever get done delivering things, because I would just sit there staring at the bosoms on the woman of the Fredericks of Hollywood catalog, which really were immense beyond all description this month. They really just beyond all sense of decent proportion.
Really stands out.
They really do. And here's what would happen to me. I would not be one of the cliched postal carriers that ends up shooting a guy. I'd be one of those guys that they catch. I would just be putting the mail down the sewer grate somewhere. Like, I would just be at the end of my route. Oh, I'm never going to get it done. Oh, down the manhole. And I just they'd catch me somewhere. It's just putting it all into a furnace. And then it would just end badly. So here's what we're going to be doing today, my friend. We're going to be welcoming Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio to the program. He's going to talk a little bit about Hollywoodland, also a summer wrap-up and DVD releases. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us. Jim Roop is talking about... There was something I wasn't expecting today. There was something about... Well, he's got the thing on the Oscars. Oh, and it's because I'm flying to L.A. this weekend. So but he actually did have a story today about airline and baggage check-in at LAX, because I got to fly into... Because I got to fly into LAX this weekend, which is going to be fun. Because not only are you no longer allowed to bring, I think, anything of any kind at all anywhere near a plane ever again, but it's also the weekend of 9/11. So I'm sure that airports are going to be lots of fun.
Good planning, Rick. Yeah.
You should hook up with Jim Roop while you're down there.
You guys should go drink a club soda together.
Should load up and party. Yeah. Well, this really is the best weekend of all. Here's basically what I am paying. As Ari Gold might say, I am paying $600 to fly down there and clap for Delana's skanktastic ass. And then, of course, so not only do I not get to see Storm perform, not only do I have to applaud for somebody I don't like, not only am I paying upwards of $500,000 to do it, but it's on the single worst air travel day of the year, which means that I'm going to be probed and pushed and prodded and poked in all kinds of weird ways at the airport. Anyways, we'll talk about that. Because I got a whole long list of electronic items I wish to bring to California, and it's like, you don't want to let those idiots at the baggage handling department, no offense, touch any of your crap, but I don't really know what choice have I. Anyway, we will talk to Jim Root today. Lisa Goddard will be joining us. We'll also talk to Gary Baumgarten, and I believe we have a horrifying story about a man whose spine was injured along with his pelvis when he fell onto a horseshoe steak. So that's coming up later on. Dan, it's DeRose, right? I keep wanting to say DeRose because that's how it's spelled. But Dan DeRose, who was former anchor?
No, it wasn't an anchor.
Former guy.
He was. I knew he was a reporter. I would see him on there all the time.
He did a thing at Coin and then was. And doesn't now. Well, anywho, he's here, and we'll bring him in. He's already given us many pithy observations about items in the news today.
No, he's awesome. Get a couple of shots in him, and that guy has the dirtiest mouth you've ever heard.
Fantastic. Well, it's only 11, and it is Friday at CBS, which means drinks are being served as we speak. All right.
That's true. He's not being paid for anything. He can have a beer.
Hey, I think you're the only one who can't.
That's true.
The irony here is that I'm not even the drinking type, and you know I could just get all
Scotty
loaded.
Scotty J is the drinking type, though.
Scotty J, would you like to get all loaded?
No, I don't.
That might make today a little easier.
Yeah, it might make you a little less nervous.
It might make you a little less less clenched up today. All right. Anyway, so that's what we've got, Chris. Are you, and where were what, 42 push-ups? 42?
44.
God damn it. All right.
Are you guaranteeing any watches from Scotty J?
Oh, well done, sir. I hadn't even thought about doing that. Scotty, what watches have we today?
Well, we have a Hick watch, a penis watch, a cannibal watch, a double clown watch.
All right, you're over-teasing now. That's anything beyond that. How many were you going to list had I not stopped you?
I have one more.
Okay.
Paris Hilton. She didn't mean to drive drunk.
Let me see the list. All right. I say cannibal watch, clown watch. This is what Scotty's got written at the top. This is his description. All kinds of news, underlined twice. There you go.
Can't ask him to do you a favor and then relentlessly make fun of him.
I'm not remiking. I'm poking.
You see how nervous he is.
I'm not nervous.
These are the...
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Not nervous.
Well, then I'll be mean to him too. Then yeah, I'd be that nervous.
Okay, Sarah's really your only. Sarah's really your only line of defense in this
That's
room,
true.
Friend. I don't know if you want to alienate her. All kinds of news. That really should just be the slogan. No, really, I'm going to tell Laura Caviezel that's what CNN should say from now on. CNN, all kinds of news.
It was in case you threw it over to me. I'd go, well, Rick, all kinds of news today. That type of thing. But that never...
Scotty, you know you're not tricking anyone by talking like that, right? I mean, everyone knows how you talk. You really don't have to be so over the top like
I'm back.
That.
I'm
going
to make an executive decision here. So I would say Cannibal Watch, Clown Watch. There's also a Corpse Watch in there. I would add that in.
Okay.
All right, Chris, there you go, sir.
Okay, so I've got Scott Daly, Jim Roop, Lisa Goddard, Gary Baumgarten, Dan DeRose, a broken pelvis story, a Corpse Watch, and you said the Cannibal Watch and the Clown Watch?
Yeah, and all kinds of news.
And all kinds of
news. Yes.
Wow, you're teasing a lot today.
Yes, it's got to be the best show ever.
All right.
All right, thank you, sir. We'll check in with you at the end of the day's program. All right, there you go. Good time. Oh, what have I done? There we go. All right, good times. All right, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you doing today?
I'm good, despite the fact there's a giant glass of open water, which we know is bad.
That's not from us. That's not us. There's a giant PBR glass full of a clear liquid. Let's hope it's water. Let's move that away from the control board.
Okay, it is.
Attention,
how are
engineers,
you?
That's being moved away from the board. As we speak.
Rick, you've got to be a little nicer to Scotty J.
I'm being completely and totally nice. At
Thank
no
you,
point.
And you can't tell Dan that we're going to try and ask him secret things that he's not allowed to talk about, because now you've completely made him put up his guard and he's not going to tell us what really happened.
Oh, we'll beat it out of him. We got beer in the fridge. I saw him eyeing that.
He did bring it up more than once.
Dan DeRose came into the studio and said, sort of, you got beer in here? And we sort of went, yeah.
Man. So, I worked with Dan for a while. The only time I've ever gone out drinking with him was for the Ronk's going away party.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we got cut off at Chevy's.
Get out!
You should say we're surrounded by small children, and the things that come out of that guy's mouth, good God.
In reference to the small children?
Not in reference to the small children, but not caring about if the small children
Good time.
Heard. It was awesome.
Why would you choose to drink at a Chevy's? That's like going to a Chili's or a Tchotchke's.
It was horrible. It took us an hour to get out there in rush hour traffic.
The only good thing about restaurants like that is that they've always, that if you go to a place like a Chili's or an Applebee's or whatever, the good thing about those restaurants is if you order nachos, they're always huge. It's always like 15 pounds worth of stuff. But on the other hand, there's always a bunch of grubby-faced little bastards sitting in the cubicle next to you. You know, whatever, the booth next to you. It's always like five children, and it's always a mom who's busy bulging out of some lavender sweatpants. Totally, totally. Or they're like, or it's an office birthday party for like the jump to conclusions guy. And it's a whole lot.
And he's wearing the sombrero, and everyone's standing around.
Oh, I've totally been there too. I've totally been at those restaurants. Yeah, where, oh God, and it's embarrassing because everybody from the office, and they clearly are all just there because it sucks. But it sucks more to be at work, and so they're all sitting there wearing plastic Lays at the table and just trying
so
not to.
Space.
It's totally trying not to hate their lives. We're also joined today by Scotty J.
Woo!
In the stead of Tim Riley, who was off today. Scotty J, resplendent in his ParadisePoker.com shirt. Did you get that for free?
Yes, I did, actually.
Wearing a free shirt from a website
radio guy.
Today.
Yeah.
That'll get the ladies. Seriously, I got to tell you, like 80% of my T-shirts are free. So
that's
all right.
Good.
Also, that was Rick bonding with you.
No, I'm trying not to make you feel bad about coming to work in a free shirt from a website. Alicia found that shirt very stylish and compelling this morning.
Right, actually, a buddy of mine played in a tournament and won a bunch of these shirts, so that was pretty cool.
So your friend got a free shirt, and you're wearing your friend's free shirt.
You're wearing free clothing that a friend gave you.
Here, I'll give this to you. He couldn't fit in it.
I don't want this. Would you
Wasn't
like...
Wasn't that on the firing sheet? You should hit up your friend's
totally.
For clothes
exactly.
And handouts?
Rummage through dumpsters and boxes.
I tried it on. It didn't fit. Here you go.
Was it... I just picture you hovering up. That's a perfectly good shirt. Don't throw that away. That's like when that old strain I know that everybody's dad has this. But that's like when you try to throw, like you're a kid and something would stop working, like a waffle iron. And he'd throw it away, and like your dad would always find one salvageable part on the waffle iron that should somehow negate the fact that the whole thing didn't work. You know, like, well, don't throw away the plug. That you'd have to pay a dollar for that plug if you had to buy it. All right, Scotty J, you're working on the following stories today. At the city desk.
Scotty J in for Tim Riley. It may be the longest erection ever recorded, and this guy got paid for it. How old is too old to rob a bank? A woman in Chicago is in the running. A South Bend man blows up while huffing. And for some tongue-in-cheek news, a Polish man receives a new tongue.
Did you really say tongue-in-cheek?
Yes.
All right. Okay. There you go.
That wasn't so bad.
Did you work on your inflection a lot this morning?
I did. In front of the mirror.
Is that your anchor person inflection?
Yeah.
All right. Say this. Say, and now, Sarah, more from you.
And now, Sarah, okay. More from you.
Okay. Don't do that.
Too much. Sarah,
that was too much. All right. So don't stress about it. There's no pressure. All right. We'll guide you through everything.
Well, should we go to a couple stories now before the break?
Well, let's hear
what you did last night, Rick Emerson.
I didn't do anything last night.
Why didn't you go to that fancy party? They even did eyebrow waxing night.
Here's why. Normally, this is in the programming matrix. This is where consultants then tell you to talk about what did Rick Emerson do since the last time he spoke to the audience. Here's the thing is, I did nothing last night. I sat on the sofa. This is what I did. I sat on the sofa and I watched... I can't say this. I sat on the sofa and I watched an advance copy of the new Aaron Sorkin television series, which is pretty damn fantastic. It's not great. It is great. It's not flawless, I guess, because it's a pilot and you can't really ever judge a show by a pilot. Because a pilot is just sort of... Pilots of television shows are always kind of bad. They're always only ever... Like, a pilot can only ever be, like, half as good as the completed program will be, because the sole job of the pilot is to introduce all the characters, give you the backstory, and get you up and running. Really, if a pilot has done its job, by the end of, whatever, the 22 minutes or 47 minutes, you're sort of invested in the characters, and you sort of know what's going on, and whatever. And then, you know, by the second or third episode, you can kind of get a feel for it. Now, I'm already sold on this because I'm a massive Aaron Sorkin fan. As I've often said, I await new Aaron Sorkin programs like other people await the second coming of Jesus. And so Peter Carlin was good enough to hook me up with this. It's called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. And it's sort of It's weird to watch this new Sorkin program, actually. Here's the other thing. Not only did Peter Carlin, who has had this... Peter Carlin from The Oregonian, for whom I have done relentless plugging and shilling. I've mentioned his Beach Boys book like 1,000 times here. He has the first 4 episodes. Does he give Rick the first 4 episodes? First 3? No. I get the first 1. Which is okay.
Oh, come on. You're so whiny.
It's okay. I'm just saying. It's not as though I've never done anything for Peter Carlin in my life.
What have we done for Peter Carlin?
Peter Carlin, we give him a forum and a platform to ream on our fellow CBS employees, such as Rebecca Webb. But I watched this show, and it's kind of weird to see, because I'm a big Aaron Sorkin fan, both Sports Night and The West Wing. And you watch this show, and it is a perfect blending of the two. It's an hour long, it's largely a drama, but it's got sort of comedic dialogue. Yet it's behind the scenes of a TV show, which is what Sports Night was. But it's got a great cast, man. It's got Bradley Whitford, who played Josh Lyman on The West Wing. It's got Matthew Perry, obviously from Friends. It's got Timothy Busfield, who was on The West Wing, and who was on 30-something. And it had Felicity Huffman as herself. It had Judd Hirsch. It was really great. And I'm not going to go on and on about it because nobody's seen it. But anybody who knows me knows that the movie Network is one of my favorite films of all time, probably second only to Glengarry Glen Ross. And the first 15 minutes of this new Sorkin show, which I think debuts later this month, I think it's like September 24th or something, the first 15 minutes of Studio 60 are a flat-out, depending on how one looks at it, either a flat-out homage to or ripping off of the movie Network. And he does that sort of me thing of stealing something and then trying to, like, cover his tracks by referencing it and then calling it a tribute. But it's pretty great. So that's what I did. What I did not do is go to a party that Sarah Dillon wanted me to go to, which involved waxing and massages.
Dude, it was massages... like manicures, eyebrow. I haven't had my eyebrows waxed since I was in 8th grade.
It's hard to believe that now they don't look any different.
Exactly. That's what it should look like.
Okay.
But it's all smooth, right?
So this is one of those I can't... I'm not going to feel between your eyebrows. All right. Where? On your nose?
Isn't it really smooth?
Yeah, it's just the odd sensation of... I don't know why that weirded me out so much. You know what it is? Because we're such a non-touching people here on the show.
We don't touch.
And we go from not touching to me feeling between your eyebrows.
My nose.
Me stroking the bridge of your nose.
Okay, that's creepy, you're right.
Stroking the bridge of your nose so I can feel the smoothness where you've been waxed. So
that was a mistake. I'm sorry.
And I know that there's somebody out there right now that's thinking that that's really sexy and alluring, and it was really neither of those, which is weird just now.
It was really fun, but you go to those parties because you want free liquor, but you know? And it ran out like an hour into it.
Here's why that happens. You go to those parties because you want free liquor, but of course the very fact that there is, it becomes a self-defeating proposition, because the fact that there's free liquor means you're going to get a lot of people to go, which means that the liquor's going to run out.
Yeah.
You know where the liquor never runs out? It's parties that nobody goes to. Nobody goes to those parties because there's no liquor. So you are
like
kind of screwed.
Like weddings when it's a cash bar.
Exactly. Like at my wedding, for example, where people paid for their own crap. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But here's, and this is where, the Jupiter Hotel?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was in that little courtyard, like right across from the entrance to the Doug Fir.
Here's the thing, and I mentioned this to you yesterday. Here's all I know about the Jupiter Hotel, because I've never been to the Doug Fir, because it seems like my wife goes there a lot, and it seems like a place that I can't go to.
It's pretty cool.
Really?
It seems a lot of people think it's pretentious. I like it because I don't go there very much, and they have decent drinks and a nice patio.
I'm not saying it's pretentious, but it does seem like a slice of life that I don't really belong to. It seems very 94.7 FM, Alternative Portland. That it seems very much like a place that like Jamie Cooley would be hanging out at, which is not in a phone booth with me. But as I understand it, the thing that recommends the Jupiter Hotel the most is that they're very lax with their identification process and that they don't really ask for a credit card. And so that
Jenna Bush stayed there the other week.
Jenna Bush and apparently any number of spouses who are looking to go to a room with someone who is not their spouse and yet not have a paper trail the husband's going to find. So I'm told. No, that's all I've heard. Because it's right next door, but it's a hotel. What? Who? Really?
No, I don't. I was asking.
Oh.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay.
Either. That was awkward. No. I'm saying that's what I've heard. And when I say that's what I've heard, I'm not saying that's a thing I know. I'm saying, or that I know somebody who's done it, saying I have heard that. And plus the fact that the Jupiter Hotel is connected to a bar. Now, I don't know a lot about a lot, but I know a little about a little. And a hotel connected to a bar is, that's not a place where lasting relationships are formed. And here's the other thing about, here's the other reason I did not go to the party last night. Because, and God love the Willamette, and God love the Northwest Music Festival, or whatever it is. There's lots of bands. It's like a bumbershoot kind of a thing. And Byron Beck, who's a good friend of ours, he does the queer window calling for the Willamette. Good guy, good friend, whatever. There are certain people who ought to go to certain types of parties. And a party that says, like, I still don't understand it. Because it says on the little VIP invitation, please come to this party. And again, when I say party, this is not like a private gathering at Byron Beck's house where this sort of thing might at least make some kind of contextual sense. This was a party at a public place. And among the things that they were promoting as happening at this party were waxings and massages. And It just seems like that's one step away from Kevin Kline fishing somebody's keys out of a bowl and then I have to go home with Joan Allen. You know what I mean? It's all very... I don't understand. Like, were they... Did you get a massage at the party?
No. I mean,
Massaging people in the room while others watched?
No, it was... Because I guess in that courtyard, there are a bunch of, like, little businesses.
Yeah.
And one of them, like a spa place, had rented out one. So in this one room, you could get a massage, like eyebrows waxed, like manicures, your makeup done, like fake eyelashes put on. It was really strange.
Yeah, it's hard to believe I didn't go.
It was interesting. I've never been to anything like it. It was pretty cool.
Yes, okay. Well, I'll be sure to go to the next one. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go break. For just a... Oh, do we have to break?
Yeah, it's way too late.
Jesus Christ, is it really 11:25?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Scotty J, you survived for another 8 minutes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after this with CNN Radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard, and Scotty J in for Tim Riley. Stay right there. The Rick Emerson Show continues next on AM 970. Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Hey, Scotty J is gone. He's gone. He took all his things with him.
Exactly. Just like Tim.
All right. he's banished into the dead.
Well, he doesn't have news until noon, right?
I was going to throw him some right after Lisa got
it. Let him get his stuff together.
I was just going to do it just to keep him on his toes. Tim Riley gone today, back on Monday, filling in for him.
And poor Tim, he's not even doing anything exciting.
No, and see, I thought that Tim was... I don't know, I thought he was going to be flying to Paris for the weekend. Is this something you're going to... I'm going to be living the life... No, forgive the pun, the life of Riley, but no. And what are you doing? I'm sitting around waiting for the Maytag repairman.
For a dishwasher.
I'm waiting for a dishwasher this weekend. I can't leave the house. So there you go. There you go, kids. The exciting life of radio host Tim Riley and or all of us. It is 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Lisa,
hello.
How are you doing, sister?
I'm doing all right.
And I just, by the way, because I know that, A, we use the West Wing music here, and you do know that I'm a big guest. I should have asked you this before, actually. Are you an Aaron Sorkin fan as well, or do you just mention that because, you know, it's an easy way to pander to my interests?
No, I am a big fan. I have not had enough alone time with West Wing as I would like.
Well, see, and the easy thing about the West Wing, though, is it's like I don't know. It's easy because you can just shave off the last 2 years. You don't really need to watch anything beyond the 50s.
That's what I hear. That's what I'm missing. I've kind of tuned out the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's everything after Aaron Sorkin left or was asked to leave. West Wing season 6 and 7, it's sort of like drinking a soda that's been left open for about a day and a half. It's still sweet, but there's just no fizz to it. You know what I mean? It's got the same general kind of flavor.
Right, I hear you.
But there's no effervescence to it, one might say. I mention this because, and I keep forgetting to find out when it airs, but Sorkin's new show, which is called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, premieres this way, and it's going to be damn good television. You got to watch it.
I hope so. I really hope so, because the TV shows about TV shows haven't had such good luck.
No, because they're all bad. I mean, the last one I saw that was good was Sports Night, which, of course, that was great. That's what I'm saying.
You're right. It didn't stay on, unfortunately.
Well, there's a lot of the cast from Sports Night and a lot of the cast from West Wing returns for Studio 60. And I will say this, the final thing, because I can't keep talking about the Sorkin thing, because I saw last night. I was able to get a sneak peek at the pilot last night.
Oh, no kidding. Jeez.
And see, I can't keep talking about it, because then it's like... Then, as every radio consultant on earth would say, Rick, you've stopped being relatable because you're talking about something that, by definition, no one can weigh in on. I will simply say this, that if you're a fan at all of the movie Network, which is it came out in 1976, which is a very iconic film, gave us the I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, then you really especially ought to see this show when it premieres, because the first 15 minutes of this new Sorkin show are a flat-out, straight-out, absolute photocopy homage to Network. So,
that's great! Wow,
and it's got
it's got the
fantastic actor Judd Hirsch in it as well. Anyway, so I'll quit. I'll shut up about it. But when you gotta let me know what you think about it when it airs.
Okay, deal.
All right. So I'm looking at this thing here where it says this is on the CNN prep sheet for today, and sometimes I look at these things and it seems like there's almost no point in talking about them, not just here but anywhere ever, because it just doesn't matter. And I'm looking at this where it says the Iraq intelligence report, and I guess the general thrust of this is that they're gonna release the documents, or they're gonna release the report to sort of lay out why it is we went into Iraq in 2003. Which, I mean, that information would have been nice to have, I don't know, like 3 years ago. But at this point, it doesn't really do us a whole lot of good, except maybe to tell us what we already kind of know or have inferred, right?
Yes, that's how you and I would approach it. But people here in Washington land see this as basically the worth of 50,000 TV ads in campaign season. Some Democrats do. So this is really, Democrats are adding this to their arsenal against the president and Republicans right now.
Let me ask you this, and this is a little bit far afield from what we're talking about right now, but if you were to take the general political pulse about about Iraq right now, is it the consensus that we're going to be there until, at the very least, the Bush administration is over and gone?
Well, the president himself has said that. He said that, I believe, just a couple weeks ago, that he expects the next president to also have this issue, or at least have some troops in Iraq. So I don't think that's unreasonable. Not at least that seems to be exactly the indications, as a matter of fact, and that's what the president himself has said.
Is this going to be one of those things, do you suppose, that one of those situations, as seems to happen so frequently around the world, where we reject the United Nations help or authority in any way until it just becomes tiresome and untenable for us to maintain this as individuals, and then we just sort of belatedly ask for their help, regardless?
That is a really interesting question. I'm not sure that the issue is us rejecting them anymore. I'm not sure if it was. It seems more that we can't get people on board to help in Iraq. You know, the UN was there in very small presence up until their own headquarters were bombed. And Zarqawi took credit for that. So, and then they got out. So I think it's more we're asking everybody we can to help us, and a lot of folks have said no.
You know, the thing I don't understand, and this is again not directly tied to Iraq, but it just seems so weird and bizarre. I was looking at the story this morning that footage just came out it's Osama bin Laden, but it's from pre 9/11, right? Have you seen the story that a group, some faction of Al Qaeda, some splinter group inside Al Qaeda released this footage of Osama bin Laden purportedly in the days leading up to 9/11. And
I haven't seen that. I'm embarrassed to say. I haven't seen that.
I actually don't know a whole lot about it. It just came across. I just saw, and I tried to ambush you with that, but I just saw it was like the little slug, as they say, just came across just a couple minutes ago, where there's apparently some new footage. And I just, it's just bizarre that we're unable to find Osama bin Laden. We can't figure out where he is. We have no leads. We have no idea. We have no clues. We have no hard evidence. And yet apparently there's just a gigantic blockbuster video somewhere on the other side of the world where it's stocked with nothing but Osama tapes. That they seriously, and there's a row that says like Musawi, and there's a row that says Al Qaeda, and there's a row that says like Pokemon, and then there's a row that says Bin Laden, and then they just keep releasing this constantly. So this, it probably will be a thing that we hear more about on Monday and Tuesday. So I wanted to kind of to tell you that I just saw that come across.
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday, in fact, the Senate voted. This wasn't something that got much publicity, but the Senate voted something like 96-0 to add $200 million to establish basically kind of a special forces Al-Qaeda group to target bin Laden even more. That led to a whole round of debate over how much are we doing or not doing. But the fact is that the Senate almost unanimously passed more money to go after Al-Qaeda and specifically to go after bin Laden.
Didn't George Bush say, just a few months back that somebody asked him about bin Laden? His response was, well, I don't really think about bin Laden all that much.
That's right. That wasn't an interview. And as a matter of fact, that came up also yesterday when Democrats were trying to say that the Bush administration hasn't paid enough attention to bin Laden. And Republicans responded back saying, oh, come on, we've done so much. You know we've done so much. We can't talk about it. It's all. And this is where I know you see that dark, menacing CIA guy in your mind, but they talked a lot about that guy yesterday on the floor of the Senate saying, we can't talk about it, but we're doing a lot. I can't say anything else, but I promise you, we have people, we have money. I can't tell you how much money. I can't tell you how many people. But we are working on it.
Yeah, that always fills me with confidence when they sort of wave me away and say that they're working on it, but they can't. You know what that reminds me of? That's like that end of Raiders of the Lost Ark when Indiana Jones is like, where's the Ark of the Covenant? They go, we have top men working on it. And then you just got to the warehouse where it's just being shoved in the back somewhere next to a pile of old D-cell batteries.
That's right. Oh, so I found about this bin Laden video. This was actually the same video from yesterday. I thought this was another new one. But this is a video. I know now I'm right on the same page with you, Rick. This was Osama bin Laden meeting with his top planner, supposedly. And this went on Al Jazeera yesterday. I guess Al-Qaeda wanting to get that out ahead of the 9/11 attacks. But, yeah, so this was some retro footage, some old-school bin Laden, if you would.
Bin Laden classic.
Bin Laden classic, right. I don't think they actually have, unlike Turner, AMC, there's no actually Bin Laden classic yet.
Like VH1 classic, that's just sort of it. So like an Al Jazeera old school channel.
Right, exactly. Right. But maybe this is the start. They're sending out feeders. So probably, maybe you'll get a call, a survey. How did you like the Bin Laden classic?
Seriously, on a scale of 1 to 5, would you recommend this? All right. Lisa Goddard, enjoy your weekend. I'm sure that we will undoubtedly be talking on Monday as we do. We're not going to do a whole lot on our end for 9/11, but I'm sure we'll be talking about the anniversary a little bit on Monday.
It's Monday Night Football or the President?
What's that?
It's a choice. Monday Night Football or the president.
I saw that advisory come across. Here's what a bad American I am. I saw that advisory come across in my inbox this morning, like, CNN will be carrying live footage of George Bush addressing the nation, and it's like, I hadn't even finished reading the second sentence, but my finger just was going up to the delete button. It was sort of like, you know, it's like when you have a little, like, your computer will have a little window that comes up that says, like, attempting to access file, wait, and then there's, like, a progress bar, and in my head there was, like, attempting to give a damn about George W. Bush's speech. No, can't do it.
Yeah.
Not able to.
So there you go.
All right, Lisa Goddard, enjoy your weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. Sure. All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. From the Hill. That's what I'm talking about.
Ooh.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, are you sure that Scotty J is not purposely overselling the watches? Could there be the slightest bit of mischief afoot between Sarah X. Dillon and Tim's Friday Man Friday stand-in? Dare I suggest they are plotting to add to the ever-increasing total of push-ups that young Sarah can request at her slightest whim? Good God, man. Watch your back. Don't lose control. Just trying to save your tender back muscles. Don't let Sarah grind you down, etc. No, I think Scotty...
That's kind of cute to think that Scotty could be evilly plotting.
Or just to think that he would really have the mental acuity left at this point in the morning to try to plan anything at all. If Scotty J was a plane, if he was like a Boeing jet, he would be one of those jets that... he would just be vibrating apart at the rivets right now. I mean, let me just say this. It is now 11:45. He's done, I think, what he's been on the air for about 2 minutes today. He basically just teased those news stories. And look, I'm not trying to in any way impugn or belittle Scotty J's abilities. I know that there's a certain amount of pressure to sitting behind a microphone and speaking to the mighty, vast, and expansive Rick Emerson audience and so forth, who are judgmental but fair in most situations. But I will say this. I meant to talk about this earlier, but we do this. Our show is not... originally formatic, but we do have a general idea sort of how to progress through today's program and every program. And Dan DeRose, who's here, formerly of Coin TV, he came in and he was in the studio earlier, and he was saying, so do you guys plan out what you're going to do every day? And we just sort of snickered and ignored him and went on working. And we really don't, but we do have a general sort of, a general sort of flow that we try to stick to, at least in that beginning of the show. And the thing that we do is at about 11:15 every day, we'll kind of go around, we'll say hey to everybody, and then we always throw it to Tim, and we'll say, Tim Riley's working on the following story
today. Sometimes, unless we run out of time, like we did today.
Unless we run out of time, but we'll have him give headlines. We'll say, hey, Tim Riley's working on the following stories at the City Desk. And then Tim will just say, there's a Wisconsin man, Wisconsin man drowned in a vat of Munster. And, an exciting lesson in why you shouldn't keep your chihuahua next to the wood chipper, or whatever. That's it. And so we threw it to... And Scotty spent, really, no exaggeration, like an hour. He spent like a sweat-covered, twitching, nervous, gibbering to himself...
Getting those three sentences.
Hour working on those three sentences, which I'm not even really sure he delivered correctly. So... So there you go. So you have to sort of take a little bit of pity on Scotty J as we go through the news today. He did ask for this assignment, though. And that's all I'm saying. He did ask to do this. He did offer to do it. So as we progress through today's program and you hear Scotty doing the news, just sort of keep that in mind. People are asking, we've got, is this the same Dan who was on Coin? It is. In fact, let's do this.
Well, do we have him in?
Before I do, I've got some other things, but before we do the other things, Dan, do we have a Dan sounder? Wait, we'll use this just in lieu of the, let's see.
Thanks.
Oh, damn it, that wasn't what I meant to play.
Thank you.
Dan DeRose.
If you just, Dan, will you come in here?
If you can just join us in the studio. I really meant to play the Scotty thing, but they were right next to each other there.
Oh,
right.
See? He said he didn't want a drink, and I bring him a beer, and he's drinking it.
Attention, Laura Klein and Human Resources.
It's Friday.
No,
Friday's beer day.
It is Friday.
And it is before noon.
Did I tell you that story on air or off air about Scott Daly being in my office when one of the employees came by taking drink orders at 2?
I think that's that was on air.
Another way in which CBS Radio is not like we were. No, in fact, it was off air, I think. I told you this because we were sitting at my desk, and it's Scott Daly was sitting there, and he was doing something or other, and one of the CBS Radio employees came by my office with, like, a steno pad, and she's sort of like, So we're taking drink orders. Who wants martinis? Who wants beer? And Scott Daly just sort of looked up and he was
Why
just sort
are we
of
stuck on this side?
And he was just sort of, what? Because he works at a bank, you know? And he sort of went. She goes, martini or beer, sir? It was really, it was great. It was like being in like a TWA nonstop to Australia or something. And he went, martini, I guess. And she went, fantastic. And she just sort of walked off. And about 2 minutes later, she reappeared and just like handed him a martini. And we were all good. And I had to explain to him that CBS Radio has a little bit of a laissez-faire attitude in terms of employee morale, which is fantastic, by the way.
And it works very well for us.
It does. No, it works out fantastic. It's a big selling point for those who are in. Attention, Tim, that kid who was in yesterday, who's thinking about getting into radio. That really is one of the only potential upsides, is that if you work in radio or any related field, you can just have the most egregious substance abuse problem, and just no one. And it's really considered sort of a positive trait in most radio circles. It really is considered something that gives you texture and depth.
Excessive drinking then becomes schmoozing.
Yeah, because
it's the best thing ever.
It's not drinking. It's social lubrication for your networking activities.
Exactly, networking.
That really is what it is.
All right, so we do have our special guest here.
Dan DeRose. All right, sir.
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks
all
for having me.
Not at all, sir. Now, you look like an anchor. You really do. You've got the piercing
you
eyes. You've got the
I was never an anchor, just that lowly beat reporter they throw out there to gather up all the stuff.
So people, you may remember him from such channels as Coin TV and also...
That's it.
There you go. Well, that's... Thanks for coming in, Dan.
How long did you work for Coin, Dan?
I was only here about 2 years.
Are you from Portland?
No, I am not.
Where are you from?
I am originally from Iowa. Grew up in Council Bluffs, went to the University of Iowa, and then worked in Cedar Rapids for about 5 years.
But this really is just like, this is fantastic. This is like you're working on your speech for induction into like the like the NAB Hall of Fame or something right now. He was born in Cedar Rapids. And so you came to Portland. Did you come to Portland to do TV?
Came here for the job. Loved
at
the city.
Coin.
Fell in love with it. And now that I'm no longer at Coin, I will not leave. I have grown to love it here.
Oh, good. That's fantastic, too. And that's such a great broadcasting story. Would you like to sell everything you own and leave your life behind and come here? Now, we swear to God we won't fire you. It's the most stable of jobs.
Exactly.
Really? No, we wouldn't lie to you. We work in television. So you came here when?
In May of 2004.
And so when you say beat reporter, you were the guy doing the stand-ups?
Yep,
you were
just out on the street.
As you can see, the building behind me is on fire.
Folks, you can see it's raining out here. It's there is some ice. They're telling you not to come out, but we are out here telling you not to come out.
That's fantastic.
That's me.
You were that guy.
I am that guy.
Someone knows what doesn't, you know, he's not familiar with what snow looks like. You're able to, as you can see,
folks,
ground,
if you take a look here, this is it, folks. This is snow.
The white kind of powdery substance. All right. And you did, and then you left.
So much.
And then
Sarah told me this morning, by the way, not to have any sort of pre-discussion with you. She didn't really say to come out and ambush you on the air about it, but I think her... I'm saying that you didn't tell me to do that, but I'm saying she did speculate that perhaps just sort of jumping right into you leaving Coin is the best way to get an honest answer out of you about
there,
it.
There you go.
We don't want to get Dan in any trouble.
Twitter fired.
You know what? I had to look over my paperwork to see what I could say. My lawyer doctored up paperwork.
Oh, is this
paperwork.
Like a non-disclosure?
A little bit. Everybody knows that there was a takeover at Coin, and you've read about it in the paper and everything, and I was not among the 21 that fell with the first axe, but I was number 22 that I guess my position was liquidated after some lawyer speak.
Oh, is that like your position became redundant?
It wasn't redundant.
Like in the Slough paper company? Look, David, there's some redundancies, and here's a box. Do they do a wave, multiple waves of firings? That's always fun, isn't it?
The best part about it, there was supposed to be another one.
Has there been another one?
I don't believe the second wave has hit yet. I believe it's
supposed to be
coming.
Early September.
Yeah, but it's...
Well, happy Labor Day, everyone.
Yeah, so watch out in the Coin Tower. You
know,
it is Friday.
Yeah. Oh, bam. That was fantastic. Well...
No,
statistically speaking, we find that there is less chance of an incident. You know, and the thing is, were you fired on a Friday?
No, mine was on a Monday.
Okay, you're supposed to fire people on Monday. That's the thing, though. That's how you're supposed to do it. And I'm not saying from a management point of view, you're supposed to do it on a Friday. Because the deal is that if you fire people, this is the management idea, that if you fire somebody on a Friday, that the office is going to be closed. And they don't say it's so you can't come back and gun everybody down, but clearly that's a large part of what's at work there. And then it's a lot of, maybe by Monday people will forget that Dan worked here. And it's sort of, then they won't hate us, which doesn't really work. The deal is, but when you get fired on a Friday, it's the worst thing on earth, because especially if you don't work in a specialized field. You know, and if you work in the media, it's a little different, because it's not like you just go to door-to-door banging on, you know, looking for a job. If you just work in a paper factory and they fire you on a Friday, what sucks about that is you've got two long days of drinking and being poor before you can do anything about getting a job. Mm-hmm. If it's a person who is in a non-specialized field, just some guy at a box factory, you're always supposed to fire them on a Monday so that the next day they can go find a job, or look for one anyway. It's on a Monday that they came.
Well, the best part about that story is the first axe that fell for the 21 people. Yeah. I was in Hawaii on vacation with my girlfriend, and she was a producer at Coin, and she was one of the axed.
Oh.
She got called in Maui.
On vacation?
On vacation. There were a lot of people.
They fired her when she was on vacation.
There were a lot of people who got the
text message.
Was
it like a... Was it just sort of a, are you, you know, later, you know, something?
But, you know what? Honestly, if you're going to get laid off being in Maui, you know, she had shed a few tears, had three Mai Tais, and man, it was good. It was good.
Okay, let me just tell you this, since we're talking about bad firing, whatever. This is, because I know that's what you want to dwell on, is the firing over and over, probably. let's role play. Let's do it again. Let's act it out. When we were at Entercom, I'm sorry, take it back. When we were at Fisher, and Entercom absorbed our radio stations. We were, you know, it was us and KWJJ. And Fisher, because they're paying off a gigantic glass monstrosity in Seattle that they can't give space away in, that was a poor decision, they had to sell KOTK and KWJJ to Entercom. Entercom basically bought KWJJ, and then we were sort of like the pilot fish that was attached under. We were the barnacle underneath that kind of came along with it.
But we were a really promising product.
They saw
the Rick Emerson show for years to come.
They were excited about the Emerson brand, so they told me in an office meeting. And this is, by the way, this was a lot of what that meeting sounded like. It was with some management who will not be named at this point. No, well, it was him, and it was also, yes, it was that guy too.
Yeah, that's the guy that fired me.
Now no one knows who we're talking about, I'm sure. But no, it was me in an office, and they really did that thing of having to interview for your own job. They
said that was what we had to do.
Exactly. We're getting way ahead of ourselves here. Let me just tell this in a very quick linear fashion. It's more time for Scotty to sweat about doing the news hour. We worked at Fisher, and Fisher, they had the big staff meeting in the boardroom where our general manager at the time, Ron Carter, who was a good guy, came in and he said, "You may have heard some stories, some rumors about our stations being sold." And by the way, he'd given us this same speech 6 months earlier and ended with, "Don't worry about it." Which is, you know, then he spent the next 6 months every day with the Mylanta. But he came to you may have heard, well, it is true. These properties are going to be moving, and they will be under the aegis of Entercom. And here to talk about that is, you know, and then the people from Entercom step up. And then they did this horrible thing where they said, and this is on a Tuesday, and they said, "What we're going to be doing is over the next few days, just sort of here, observing, kind of seeing how things work." And
so bad.
Probably coming in just to talk to a few of you and maybe just having, you know, some FaceTime, just some one-on-one. And, you know, we're really just going to find out kind of how things work around here. And, you know, we don't want to step on any toes. We're not going to come in and tell you that our way is the way to do everything. But we do want to understand kind of, you know, what everybody sort of does here. And so we can find a way to sort of maximize the resources that are part of Fisher. And then I swear to God, and then this woman ended it. There was a woman she ended with, this phrase will stay with me all of my days, like a particularly bad scar. She said, But we just want to tell you how excited we are. And as soon as you have the chance, I mean, really, my door is always open. And I want you to come over to the Entercom building. We're down on McAdam or whatever the hell they are, Bancroft. We want you to come down. And we want you to come down because we're really excited for you to meet all your new brothers and sisters."
Yeah.
And
I don't remember
saying it now, it makes my teeth itch. is the worst goddamn thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, just, and as soon, it's like I could feel myself going into a diabetic shock of some kind.
I think at that point I was still crying because they'd just given us those papers where they fired and rehired all of us. So they're like, you know, your employment has been terminated effective, you know, on that day.
That's the other best part is because of they said it was for paperwork reasons, but it's sort of like you heard that story with Richard Nixon where the first thing everybody had to do when they started for Nixon was to write a resignation letter, and he kept it in a drawer. And so that if you ever got out of line, you know, Bob Haldeman acted up one day. Nixon's like, well, I've got your resignation right here, Bob. It's been nice knowing you. That's what we all had to do. We all had to quit. We had to, they fired all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Literally fired us all. Paperwork, severance, all of that. And then they just chose who to rehire. That's a lot of fun. Walking around. And then tried to, it's just a formality. And look, I mean, hey, we think you guys are all really a great part of the team here. You're all assets. And then we did these horrible one-on-one meetings all through that week. And I remember sitting in a small, windowless little room with these guys from Entercom. And they said this to me. They said, this is exactly how it went. They said, hey, Rick, now, look, first of all, we want you to know that we are big believers in the Emerson brand. And we think your show is great. We love the show. We love the people on the show. Let's talk about Tim O'Reilly, you know, and it was just, and clearly, like, no notion at all, like, what we actually did. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like you said, it was just waiting for the axe to fall.
Yep.
So.
It was pleasant. Are you sure that company wasn't SJL? That sounds like the
Well, that's just, so is that kind of your deal? Is that what happened to you?
Yeah, I guess really all I can say, and I can't speak bad about SJL. That's also in the agreement.
Is that you can't, or you would not give it a choice?
Hey, I can say I have a lot of friends that still work there, a lot of friends, and you don't have to get it from me. I've heard from a great number of people about, I'm sorry, this is not me bad-mouthing COIN, but the people who work there bad-mouthing COIN about just how horrific it is to work there. People are punching time cards. Nobody seems to care. And again, this is not me. This is what I'm getting from people who work there.
This is the word on the street.
This is more than the word on the street. This is the word from behind the anchor desk.
Bam!
But no, you do have to hand it to SJL Montecito. They have come in with a plan. It is not an employee-friendly plan, but they have implemented this plan, and they are sticking to it. So
Well, the morning show is completely different.
Did you guys see yesterday? The noon news was not on the air, and they ran a crawl because it was because of technical difficulties. Their noon news was not on the air for technical difficulties.
What were they airing?
Oh,
in
are they
place?
Using the robotic cameras?
They've
now?
Been using those for a while now. But
are there any real live cameramen left at COIN?
I hope not. I hope so because Larry worked there.
Like Renteria, I. Oh boy, you know, so many people have come and gone.
We're talking to Dan DeRosa, who's formerly of COIN, by the way.
Formerly of COIN.
Yeah, in case anybody's wondering who it is.
And I'm formerly of
COIN, too. No, I'm resetting.
I get a lot of friends that ask about Sarah Dillon. They loved Sarah Dillon.
It's all about Sarah.
I got a friend, Chris McKee, is a diehard Rick Emerson show and diehard Sarah Dillon.
Oh, cool. Well, it got way too early for me, and you could tell how unhappy everyone was.
Well,
you just tune in and take a lot of sadness.
I wasn't there all day, but I mean, all the other people, you know, who were there all day, they were just, you know.
Let's just take a look at the morning show when it was, okay, how long ago? 6-8 months ago, it was Katie, Mark Ronchetti, and you doing.
We're still trying to get an eyeful of the Australian girl. What did that guy describe?
I still haven't seen her.
Okay, and this, again, as you just said, by the way, this is not me saying this. This is what a guy said. This is what I called her to the program yesterday. Because I said, we have our stock question, which is kind of a Donna Mike thing of, you know, I said, well, what celebrity does this new, what does she most closely resemble? Because I haven't seen the new Trevor girl. This guy calls up and he goes, well, you know how Sarah Dillon was kind of, you know, she was kind of hot. She was eye candy. This girl's more like a 4 or 5 beers at 2:30 in the morning.
Whoa.
I really wish, if anyone has a picture, send it to us.
Somebody else said that he wasn't clear that she had an accent. He just thought that she was retarded. I'm sorry, had a speech impediment.
Well, she sounded really nice.
No, I'm sure she's really nice.
Well, I hope that girl's not listening.
No, she's...
That's what you call an ultimate complex.
No, I'm not saying that that's we said that. That was what the... we're trying
you
to get
really
her...
need to keep repeating
We're
that.
Trying to get her in the studio, actually.
Yeah, way
that's
to go.
That's
yeah.
probably not going to happen.
You just called her retarded?
I didn't say... You want to hear what people call me. All right? All right.
You know, just for the record, I wish we could talk about why Dan got fired, because it's awesome.
Can't we?
Oh.
I love that sound. Listen to that.
What I can tell you, I can dispel that this was one of the greatest.
This was you, right?
No. Oh, okay. That
Sarah is writing her theory down on a piece of paper.
She wrote Deep Throat. That there's a media. No, it had nothing to do with. Anyway, there's a media website on here. It's called OMI, Oregon Media Insiders.
Yeah.
And somebody who was on the inside of COIN kept leaking all this just negative Fantastic. Information,
like
putting
our,
it on there.
Yeah, all of our memos.
Every time there would be a meeting or a memo, it would be up in 5 minutes. And they honestly thought it was me. And I am happy to say it was not. So your mole is still in there. I would admit it wholeheartedly right here on
well,
the
yeah,
Rick Emerson
totally.
Show.
Because
I have nothing to lose now.
Oh, Sarah, you've been her hero because she thought it was you.
Here's another great one. When it happened, I got the tap at about 4:30. We called it the tap. There, everybody knows there's a woman in the newsroom.
Can we see you for...
Yeah. Who does it very, very calmly. Dan gives you the tap. It's 4:30. They need to see you up in the GM's office.
Can you bring everything on your desk?
And so I was like, uh-oh, I knew what this was. So I go up there, I have this meeting, and I come back down, and I'm pretty red in the face, pretty upset, and I collect my... I had a live shot to do at 5, and they're just like, oh, don't worry about it. Just go home. You know, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Oh.
Well, yeah, that's code for we don't want you to go crazy on the air.
Exactly. So I go up to my producers and say, they've just canceled my live shot. Can't tell you why. You're going to have to take care of it. And so by the time I get home on this Media Insider's webpage, before I even get home, it's on there that Dan DeRose was fired, which was not the case, but it was on there. It was even on there that I went into the GM's office to talk about my girlfriend being fired, and that I flipped his desk. People thought I
you
went in there.
You should go back and do it now.
No,
just
and people,
because they think you
people
did.
People were like root me on. Oh, that Dan DeRose, what heart? You know, standing up for his girlfriend.
See, I would just if I were you, I would let everybody believe all of that stuff. I would deny
totally
none of that.
This entire time, I thought that you were the one, you know, who had the balls to sit there.
Or maybe I was.
See, maybe.
Oh,
see, it's just like,
there you go.
See, you're flipping it on us here. We're running. We're so late. We've got. Let me get this call here. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I actually did watch COIN this morning just to see what all the hubbub was about, and I saw Miss Jenny Hogan this morning, and she is not the four beers at 2 a.m.
I never said she was. That was a caller who said that.
No, I didn't say you, but yeah, right. She is not the lovely Sarah Dillon. Nobody could
refuse Well, who really can be?
But she is, an attractive young woman, although there is something to it because her Australian accent kind of wavers in and out, and so she does sound like she either has, an Australian with a lisp, or somebody who just isn't all there. But she did use the phrase this morning, there's a squiggly wiggly on I-5.
Oh, God.
And then the weather guy came in after that. I think that's English for traffic is moving nicely. So I think there's a rift between them two already, because he kind of looked over at her like, what the hell are you talking about?
Is it Tim Joyce that's doing the weather?
Yeah.
Is it the block? Okay.
I think
Tim's
outsourcing
awesome.
Or something there. Is the next thing going to be a guy in New Delhi who's just doing the traffic?
All I've got to say is how far did they have to go to get somebody that hasn't heard about the disastrous COIN? They went to Australia. Brought a girl in from Australia.
Have you ever heard of COIN? No. Come on. Get on the boat.
You know how many people they've had? They had one producer who showed up, was there for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden just didn't show up to work. He just vanished. Didn't call. He just vanished. They had another girl who was signed up. Her first day was supposed to be on a Tuesday. Didn't show. They've had a lot of people who have either didn't show or just left. Guy was here for 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, all right then. Hey, kids, he's Dan DeRose. He's going to be here all day.
You get
He'll
me liquored up and all that
stuff.
He'll be screening your call. And again, I know we're so late. We have to break and then we'll come back with Scotty. sounds so weird. Kid, the irony, as we've noted earlier, is that, and I don't know how we somehow wedged ourselves into this, I think it's because Scotty actually really pushed for it, is that Dan DeRose, who did news, is actually screening. And Scotty J, who is the screener, will be doing the news. So go figure there.
Well, maybe we should have Dan in a little bit later to do a couple
of things. No. Scotty's. I'm not stepping on the kid's toes.
No, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. Scotty, we need to talk to you for
a few
minutes.
I'll find him some celebrity gossip.
Give him the tap. Scotty, could we see you?
Scotty, we're big believers in the Scotty G brand.
Just stop coming in for free, Scotty.
Yeah. All right, well, back after this, and we'll get the Patrick. He's got something about Sorkin. Jennifer has news about Veso. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Back out of this is Motorhead. Don't go anywhere.